This is Vision Destiny 2019, and I'm sharing my 2018 journals, and some of those things will include what God did and said to me in 2018. What does that mean for us in 2019? How do we apply it? What does God want us to reveal to us and unveil to us in 2019? What does God want us to do? Where does he want us to go? Where does he want to take us in 2019? Let's be open to pursue our destiny and allow him to lead and direct and guide us during this year. As I say before every session, please don't believe anything I say just because I say it. If you resonate with anything I say in your spirit, take it back to God for direct revelation from him. If you object strongly to anything I share, take it back to God and openly ask him to give you revelation yourself. I can only share my information that I've got through my revelation that come through personal encounters and experience. It will just be secondhand information to you unless it inspires you to go to God and get it for yourself. Only by engaging God yourselves can you receive revelation, not information. We need to know the truth. The truth is a person. The truth is the spirit. The truth is the revelation that is revealed in God, but we can only truly know when we experience it. It isn't intellectual understanding. Love is my plumb line for truth, and the deeper I've gone in my relationship with God, the more clear this is. I use love as my interpretative tool for everything. God said to me, if it's not unconditional love, it isn't me. If it is love, it is me, and love must be unconditional and otherly, otherwise it's not love at all. So a lot of what we say is love in the world and the love songs that are sung, and we talk about all sorts of types of love. What we're talking about here is the very character and nature of God himself, who is love, and his love is unconditional and absolutely otherly. Françoise Dutoit, quote, "Don't tell people how lost they are, show them how loved they are." And this is the key. For reaching the world, it is demonstrating how loving a God are and loving people on behalf and representing him. So let's continue with some of the things that God spoke to me. Son, rest in me. Let everything flow from the core of my being. Son, you can go from linearity, not only in your spirit, but within your mind and body also. Now, linearity or from non-linearity is the key to where you can live in multiple places at the same time. And it's really, really important that we realize that we don't have to be limited to be in one place at the same time. We can be multidimensional. But if we are stuck in linearity, then we're going to only think in terms of today, tomorrow, and the day after, rather than, hey, I can be in multiple places in multiple dimensions. Fragmentation is the enemy's counterfeit of living a multidimensional existence. Son, focus on my heart, the place where deep calls to deep, where you are truly joined to me. Son, let who I am shape who you are. Let my thoughts about you here be like the potter whose hands are constantly shaping and reshaping the clay of your being. Where your scroll is continually being rewritten, where your course is continually being replotted to ensure you are conformed to the image of sonship. Son, how vast are my thoughts about you? Let them mold you and shape you just as I formed Adam, here like clay, and I breathed into him my word. Let me breathe into you my living words, my breath. Son, you have the words of life within you. When you draw breath, here, now, breathe out as you create reality as the four faces of my government in what is my name. We have the power of his name and the authority of his government to be creative in what we speak, to release those living words and living letters to form and create. Son, be the man that I'm calling you to be, at rest in my love. Living loved, loving living, living loving, in a restored walking relationship of co-heirship as my son. Son, bring together relationally what was, in eternity, in union with what is, and live and love consciously from both dimensions simultaneously to create the physical what will be as a history maker. When we're connected to God's heart and then we're administrating God's heart in the realms of heaven, we then need to be the gateway of that administration to come into the earth so we can actually see this created, but in love. Son and heir, miracle worker, soul lover, Eden dweller, creation lover, restorer, repairer, reconciler, chancellor, ambassador, counselor, manifested son, co-heir, co-creator, foundation stone, boundary stone, circle legislator, founding father, ambassador to races. Now, those are just some of the things he said to me. Now, he can say many, many different things to you, which are aligned with your destiny, your connection to creation, who you were, who you are, who you will be, an outworking of the reality of your identity in him, but it must come through relationship. Son, you are my beloved in whom my soul delights. Live from delight, to live in delight as my desires become your desire. Living from the delight of the Father's heart, living in the authority of his holy name, Yod He Vav He, to create heaven on earth. Son, I've pruned people, even nations from the world by removing them from government, as I did with Egypt, Babylon, Greece and Israel, like a branch from the vine. But just as with Israel, everyone can be regrafted into the one true vine, the tree of life, my son. Son, I am a gardener at heart. I love to see things produce fruit and to reproduce, to multiply. I created things with the ability to grow, increase and multiply through seed time and harvest. All of my children have built within them the ability to grow and mature and increase in capacity just as I am. We are but in the dimension of time. Everything is designed to expand towards our infinite eternal now. Just as Jesus, the Son of Man, grew into stature with God and man to be the Son of God, who he always was, he was, is, and always will be, as we were, we are, and we always will be. So there's a sense here where we need to really understand the nature of who we were before we were here, and the nature of who we are here, and the nature of where this will eventually take us. Now, from God's perspective, it's all now. And when we start to live from a non-linear perspective ourselves, we begin to see things from that it's eternal now, all now perspective as well. And it begins to change how we see what is possible within the world. Son, as my children are made in my image, they are created with the ability and desire to be in the what was, the eternal now, and the what is, to establish what will be. This is their eternal destiny as co-heirs and co-creators, to mature to be ascended fathers who have fully embraced their identity, position, and authority in love. Son, love is the only basis for all my precepts, statute, laws, and ordinances, and it is our only motivating energy that empowers all judgment, justice, grace, mercy, righteousness, and faith. Love is who we are. I am that I am is love. Son, apokatastasis and perichoresis are both to be universally accepted core values of love in both relationship and government. Now, if you're unaware of these terms, they're Greek terms used by the early church. Perichoresis was the word used to express the divine entwining of Father, Son, and Spirit in the circle of the dance. And apokatastasis was the word that was used for the restoration of all things. And these were words which were well known and were accepted during the early church. They have become less well known and actually not universally accepted because most people don't know what they are. But God is at work to bring the deeper revelation of this to his body. Son, fill my heart for all our children. Feel the intensity of my desire and love. Feel how it burns with the passion and desire that all would come to relationship that is both face to face and redeemed in innocence. This is a constant and never changes with the behavior of my children, as nothing can change who I am, love. So no matter what we do, it will not affect the fact that God loves us. It may affect the fact of how we experience that love, but it will never change God. Our behavior cannot change God. Son, love cannot fail, as I am constantly at work to ensure the good pleasure of my will is accomplished. I know what you're thinking. How does free will equate with my will? And I was thinking that, because this is a question we all ask. You know, do we really have free will? I don't believe we have free will, which is not influenced by something, but we all do have choice. That choice is influenced, and therefore we make choices basing on the influence. God wants to be the influence that helps us make the right choices. So this is what he said. Free will is not an illusion, but my will never changes and is always at work to bring good out of free will, to bring alignment and agreement. I will never cease, as my love will never cease to be at work in all things. All will come to the knowledge of the truth as my love continues to be at work in them. Son, the truth will make a way for the abundant life, which is my desire for all my sheep from all the folds. Now this starts to unveil some interesting concepts that Jesus talked about sheep that were from other folds. Now he, in context, may well have been talking about sheep from the Gentile fold, but there may well be a deeper context to that, and I think some people are beginning to experience that. Son, I have called you to other folds to make known as an ambassador of God's love, power, to redeem, reconcile, and restore all things in time, space, dimensions. So I have a mandate to engage other folds. Son, my love transcends all barriers within the now of my heart's desire for face-to-face relationship with all my creation. Son, free will cannot stop or change my love. That will never fail and cannot be changed, as I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow from your perspective. Son, listen carefully, not with your ears, but with your heart. Feel what I am as love's desire. And I stopped at this point, and I just began to learn to meditate more deeply. And this opened up a whole different realm of actually outworking what I had learned over the previous 20 years into a very practical, how do you focus and live from a place of rest? By learning to be mindful and to meditate. And this came out of these experiences when I began to respond to what God said. Listen carefully, not with your ears, but with your heart. Feel what I am as love's desire. Now you have to stop and go into a deeper state of consciousness to be able to do that. I can never not be who I am. Therefore, love wins. Love overcomes and love can never fail. Son, call to the next generation, issue the edict, release the sound of heaven's legions. Son, send out the blue light once again to the targets of my desire within the counterfeit systems of the world. Now, I sent a blue light out many years ago in response to Jesus calling me to do it, and I just released it out of heaven, and people started to have testimonies of engaging with a blue light in their dreams, in their encounters with Jesus, following their car, coming into their room, all sorts of different things. So now I'm called to send that out again to operate within the religious systems and any system which is not aligned to God within the world. I call for Damascus Road encounters with the deceptions of the enemy's camps. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that as Paul had an encounter on the Damascus Road with a light that unveiled that God was at work in him in Christ, then there are others who need to have that. And so there are deceptions and there are people who are deceived and they are operating within the enemy's camp. In other words, they may well be New Age practitioners. They may well be occult practitioners. They may well be functioning in other religious systems, but they can have Damascus Road encounters. We need to call for them. I call for the light to shine to penetrate the veils of darkness and deception that are keeping people from the truth. Now, again, this is my response. Yeah, I want to see people come into the truth of that light. I call for the light of truth to explode from inside out to reveal the light at work within. I call for heaven's lightning bolts to be released to the legions of angelic messengers. I call for love bombs from the weapons house to be armed and targeted and guided by the cries of the saints for salvation. I call for the targeting of New Age gurus with truth, light, love, to expose the religious lies used to keep them from the truth. I call for the targeting of cult leaders within sects that are deceived by religious legalism and programming. Here am I, send me, Lord. So I responded to this. I was really thinking, and this was the first element to it, was seeing that those people who God loves, his children, who are veiled and kept in darkness, come into the light. So I took my mandate to the weapons house to take the spear of truth, because when I look to engage those who are trapped within the New Age movement, who may be trapped within the occult movement or other religions, actually what the deeper meaning to this was, actually there are people who have already died, who have died not knowing Jesus and have died in that deception and are in the fiery place of God's love as a consuming fire of his love. And I have a mandate to go and bring truth to them. And I took that mandate seriously. So I went to the weapons house and I got a spear of truth. And I went to Wisdom's Heights and I accessed the fiery door to the trophy room. And I went to engage the fire of God's consuming love, to preach the good news of truth using the spear of destiny of truth to penetrate the deception of DIY self-righteous ideals and values. Now, I was pretty stirred up by this. I don't think I've ever preached and really challenged the way I did with that spear. That spear empowered me. So I made some declarations and proclamations that seemed to penetrate. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. Jesus is each proclamation like a thrust of the spear unveiling true destiny. So I was using these declarations to speak into the darkness which was veiling those who had not accepted Jesus yet but were seekers of truth. They were pursuing spirituality just in the wrong place. So I made this declaration. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light, over and over again. And each proclamation was like a thrust of the spear. And it started to have results. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. Another powerful thrust of the sword to penetrate the hardest hearts. Jesus is the only name by which all men will be saved. Another thrust of truth's light. Jesus is the only way to the Father, to the source. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Another thrust of the spear. Jesus is the only door. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the true bread of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the door of the sheep. Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the Son of God. And as I was doing this, I felt empowered and the thrusts of those swords really started to engage and people started to respond. And as those people responded, and what happens is, you know, you go out through the door, through the fiery tunnel, and you go to Wisdom's Heights. And those who have followed you, who've responded to the preaching of the good news, they bow their knee and they confess Jesus as Lord. At that, like the fiery sword, it's like a fiery sword door. And they come out and then they go into the realms of heaven and they go into a place where they're being equipped, where they're being given revelation that they didn't get on earth. And they're actually, they become part of the cloud of witnesses. But they have an insight into what's going on earth, into those who have still being veiled. So I assign the cloud of witnesses who today have been freed from the fiery place to cause to free their early brothers and sisters from the deceptions. So I assigned them to begin to engage on earth, to on earth begin to unveil and reveal and cooperate with us in the ministry into those new age movements, occult movements, religious movements to help in the process. This is an ongoing mandate. Son, in eternity, I am that I am. There is just us. You have been exploring the spirit realm of spirit, love, light. Now, this was another concept that was beyond me. I thought I had been within God, within eternity, and he was saying, hey, there's another realm within this. You've been exploring the spirit realm of spirit, love, light. You have been experiencing your origin, the womb of your beginning, the vast sum of our thoughts and conversations. Deeper and deeper, beyond, beyond, there is no beginning and no end within us. The maps of the spiritual realms are all inadequate, but they have given me reference points to the pathways that I've discovered I can walk on and were now part of me. So over the years, you know, and this has taken many years, you know, I've walked the realms of heaven. I've walked in those spiritual realms. I've made maps effectively to help other people sort of get an insight into where they are. In fact, you know, I'm just doing a module within Engaging God now on heavenly realms and the geography of heaven and various things like that. And they've given me rest, but they are inadequate. Really, they don't really describe the fullness of what the spiritual realms are all about. But as I kept engaging, now they're part of me and now I can go anywhere by thought. And I can just think and I'm there. I can now navigate those paths by thought, intention, out of desire and leading. Engaging the spiritual realms is a journey of discovery of who God is and who we are as his sons and together as heirs and co-heirs ruling in love. Son, the goal is wholeness, restoration of all that has been lost, broken, fragmented, fractured, and all that had been used to protect can be removed. The coping mechanisms and defense mechanisms that have been employed by the subconscious mind can be safely removed in my presence. In my presence, there is no fear. And that's so important to grasp. There is no fear in my presence. There is fullness of joy and a peace beyond all earthly understanding. Before we can separate and reintegrate soul and spirit, we need to reintegrate the fragmented soul. Because if our soul is fragmented, we're not fully reintegrated because there are still aspects to our soul that are hidden because of fear in darkness. We need to see all walls, barriers, and partitions come down, penetrated by the love of God that casts out all fear. This is why knowing God is absolutely vital to our maturity and our healing and restoration in sonship. Jesus, who knows what it's like to be fully human as the Son of Man and fully identified with our brokenness when he cried, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And there's a sense where he was crying our cry. It wasn't his cry. He represented us in the Garden of Gethsemane and went through the agony of failure of humanity. And he overcame that as a representative of us. And he embraced his call and he's calling us to embrace who we are. Son, the bridal chamber is an opportunity for people to experience a deeper dimension to my love. I will reveal the true nature of my love at a level that will be transformatory to their very identity as a son. They will be joined to me in a way that will enable us to become one spirit. Like in normal marriage, there is a joining to be one flesh. Son, you need to go beyond the limitations that others are trying to put on you and be the you I created you to be. The restrictions that others impose will always be out of their own needs, so only focus on what flows from me. I am is the only agenda you need to have so you can be at rest and peace. Son, abundant life is available for all if they seek me first, but all death that was defeated at the cross needs to be eradicated from your lives. Death and fear of death have been the enemies that have robbed all my children of the fullness of love, joy, and peace. That is the foundation of their inheritance as a son of God. Creation itself is looking and longing for the restoration of life based in the love, joy, and peace that can come from no other source than me. Son, I am relationship personified. So only look to me, not others, and encourage others to do the same. Don't look at other people. Don't look at them and say, I'd like to be like them. You just need to be like you. And the only way you're going to be that is to see the reflection of who you really are in the mirror of his face. I am is all that my children need if they would just let go of their expectations of others and focus on me as the Father of lights who has an abundance of all that is needed. Son, it is time for my children to go to the next level in regards to sonship. I am calling for a new level of intimacy that will go beyond the worldly mindsets held because of religious programming. The religious virus of thinking that had infected my children needs to be eradicated by experiences of pure loving bliss. Son, what I have revealed to you, I mandate to you to reveal to others who will be hungry enough to be deconstructed. Then this is so important. It is not easy to go through a process like this. It totally wrecks your mind and deconstructs the belief systems that have probably held up the constructs of your thinking for your whole lives. But it brings you into a level of truth. Love encounters with the waterfall, connected to the mind of Christ, non-linearity beyond experiences that will shake the foundations of religious mindsets. They shook my foundations, and I guarantee they'll probably shake yours if you let them. Son, use the legislation you have and make any further legislation you need to set my children free from the limitations and restrictions keeping them from sonship. The bondage to the idols of doctrine and theological systems of belief must be broken, and true relationship must replace the counterfeits. Son, this will need a radical shifting through mind quakes of increasing intensity so that only truth of my kingdom remains. The tree of life must be the source. No other source can create the consciousness of sonship necessary for co-creating through the power of creative thought. Reality is chosen from the multiple potential possibilities that exist, so the now of my heart will become what will be through what is. Living from the now of my heart is the only way true reality can be manifested, otherwise all is a product of the DIY delusion. Son, there is no free will, just the ability to choose, but under whose influence will those choices be made? No one is free from influence, so no one really has free will. There is programming that informs our choice. There is no relationship. There is relationship that informs choice. Essentially, we can have the programming of our mind to inform our choice and keep us making the same decisions that we've always made and keep getting the same results that we've got. Or there is a relationship with him which will begin to inform our choice, which will enable us to make correct choices. And that is so important if we're going to embrace what God really wants. Heart to heart, cardiogenosis, or mind controlled by nature, nurture, or trauma. Those are the only choices. The imagination is what makes it possible to connect with the creativity of sonship. All my children have been made in my image and likeness to be creative, but have all lost their identity and have a distorted image of self, and therefore have created a distorted image of God in their own image. And that, again, is so important to embrace. All religion is a DIY distortion that comes from the wrong tree, and although there is some residual truth within, there is no life, only death. All religion produces death because its source is I, self, independence, knowledge apart from true relationship. Knowledge apart from relationship can only produce obligation and expectations that lead to religious observation and duty based in fear and not love. And this is so important when we embrace this process to be set free and have our minds deconstructed and renewed, it begins to challenge why we do what we do. Why do you do what you do? Why do you go to church on Sunday rather than being church 24/7, 7 days a week? Why do you do it? Why do you like doing the things you do? You know, are they programmed? Are they obligations? Are they duties? Are they coming from religious observance? God is deconstructing these things to unveil the truth. If you do something based in fear and not love, it is not coming from the tree of life. The DIY tree source is fear, and that can never produce life. A tree of life is sourced in love and can never produce death, because it has the river of life running through it from the very throne of God's relationship. Son, choose who you will serve, because you will serve and be influenced by someone or something. So I want to serve God. I want to seek first the kingdom. My whole desire is to fulfill the purposes of God in this generation, to serve the purpose of God in this generation, that I'm called to the kingdom for such a time as. I encourage you to seek God for that yourself. Present the opportunities to my children for their minds to be renewed by a radical shift of quake proportions. It takes that sometimes to just shift things in our minds, in our thinkings, because they're so deeply ingrained. 1 John 4:18-19 says, fear cannot coexist in this love realm. The perfect love union that we are talking about expels fear. Fear holds on to an expectation of crisis and judgment, which brings separation, and interprets it as due punishment, a form of karma. This is from the Mirror Bible translation. It echoes torment and only registers in someone who does not realize the completeness of their love union with the Father, Son, and Spirit, and with one another. We love because He first loved us. We did not invent this fellowship. We are invited into this fellowship of Father and Son in the Spirit. The tree of life is the marrying of the relational and the responsible positions of sonship. The tree corresponds to the governmental positions of light within the fabric of the created dimensions, which is the matrix of relationship, knowledge, wisdom, understanding that holds all things in relational position. Quite a mouthful. Meditate on it. Ask God to reveal what that means within the context of the tree of life. So there are lots of pictures you can find that are pictures which give some things. This is the usual biblical thing. Hey, there's this tree. Well, it may be called a tree in that sense, but it's way, way more. There's just one level. There's so many depths of levels to what this really means. So you have trees which then seem to have a shape within them, and that shape is a dimensional, geometric, sacred geometric shape that is being unveiled as when we talk about the tree of life, that concept. And then that goes into this particular shape within the seed of life. And you can see the outline of the intersections and the spheres that are making up that shape. And this is a shape which a number of people have talked to me about, they've encountered and they've had dreams of, or they've had visions of. You know, God gave me this as a crystal, this shape, as a crystal, which is a symbol of my ambassadorship for the Joshua generation. And I present this as my position within the tree of life. And it's recognized, just like God gives you a ring of sonship, He gives you maybe a seal or a chancellor's seal or various things within the realm of heaven. I was given a crystal in this shape, which is a shape that is reflecting of the tree of life and our position within it. So the tree is the convergence of time and space with eternity, the place where life itself is balanced to form the framework of existence. The tree is where the relationship between light and love is the center of geometric framework that is Metatron's cube, because that shape is also within a bigger framework of Metatron's cube and is actually the heart of it. The tree of life is where all the wheels within wheels of what was, what is, and what will be converge with the now of what always is within the heart and mind of God, being the intimacy of God's conversation between Father, Son, and Spirit. again, it needs meditating on to engage. The tree is the doorway into the light of love's essence, where the sons of God are positioned in kingdom, where his outward appearance is but a physical representation of inner being. And this is important. Don't just focus on what it describes in the Bible, where the fruit and the leaves are the outward purpose of love's fruit to restore the health of the physical realm. And that is a very legitimate view of what it's for, and the leaves for the healing of the nations and the fruit and everything. That is just the outer purpose. Don't get stuck on just what it looks like or what you see from an outer perspective. Go deeper. Pursue these things deeper. The fractal patterns of mathematical symmetry and harmony within the micro and macro, visible and invisible, are the reflection of the precepts, statutes and laws. This is the foundational governmental principles of everything, of order, within the wheels, and the circle of the deep and the chancellor's houses and all those things. The tree represents the ascended positions of maturity and sonship, where each element of light is both holding everything together and apart, reflecting the mind of Christ. The 12 stones, the 12 foundations, the 12 step of ascended sons become ascended fathers are expressed in the 12 fruits of the tree in continual season. The 12 months are representative of the consummation of the 12 ages of man, and the 12 ambassadors hold the fabric of time and space together in harmony and restored relationship of the wheels of the circle of the deep. Crystalline appearance and the orbital appearance are representations of love and light, relationship and responsibility. Son, a new day is dawning, where so many more of my children will truly know me as a loving father. And some of the things I've shared in previous sessions about the firestones, some of the things I've just shared about the tree of life and Metatron's cube and those things, pursue them. There is so much deeper revelation of them. Me talking to you about it is not going to scratch the surface of what it really is. So pursue it. Pursue this new day dawning, where so many more of my children would truly know me as a loving father. This is what God's intention is, to draw us back to that face-to-face innocence of relationship. I am revealing myself to those who are willing to look and seek first of all, but I am relentless in my pursuit and I will never stop. So God is reaching and engaging with those who are pursuing him and seeking him, but he's not going to stop there. There is nowhere where I will not go, as my love is unrelenting and unstoppable. There is nothing anyone can do to stop me loving them. They put me on a cross, but I chose to forgive them and use their own rejection and punishment to facilitate their reconciliation. I created all things for a relationship, and I have always had relationship with all things, but the time is coming for all things to know me. I was slain as an offering for all that have become lost and independent from before the foundation and the fall of all things created. I cannot and will not be changed by anything or anyone. I am that I am, and that is love and light. My precepts, statutes and laws are immovable foundations that cannot be shaken or moved. I am the same yesterday, today and tomorrow, and I am love's purest expression, and I have the deepest desire that all my children, past, present, future, will choose to accept my love and know me so they can truly know themselves. I am at work to replace the concept that the written word can replace the living word with the true reality that the word who became flesh and lived amongst you is full of grace and truth and is now living within you all. For that fullness of who I am, everyone has already received. But the time for realization is here and is coming and will come. Son, the main task is still to raise up and equip the Joshua generation. The reality of true relationship must be affirmed, even if many people are offended, as without it there can be no true sonship. You have now laid a foundation of intimacy, free from restrictions, which can become a platform for the administration of the restoration of all things. So God's heart, he is passionate for restoration. He's passionate for us to be restored, reconciled, redeemed, all these re-words, which means bringing things back to its original. He is passionate for that, and it goes beyond what we can imagine or think, but we can experience it, and then we can become part of it, and we as sons of God can be revealed and manifested on earth as we are in heaven to begin to answer creation's groan, to reconnect us to our responsibility within creation. And all of us have it. All of us have things that we know that we're connected to, that stir us, that draw us towards some other things. They're because we're connected to creation in an undescribable way, but a way which can be remapped and restored, and our thinking can re-engage with it, so we can truly know our place within the harmony of all things, so that we can begin to answer creation's groaning. Creation is groaning for restoration. We need to respond with an experience of God's love and engaging who God is, and accept our call to sonship, to embrace that call, and to come fully into maturity of sonship, which will begin to unveil these things to us in a very true way. So I would want to encourage you again just to respond to the call for sons of God to arise. He's calling you. He's calling you to unveil and reveal. So I'm just going to finish with just calling the sons of God to arise again, releasing this frequency for the call. I am calling for the sons of God to arise. I'm calling for sons to come into the fullness of their sonship. I'm releasing a sound, the sound of heaven, the sound of many waters, the sound of my voice, that is calling my sons to arise and shine and take their places within the realms of heaven, seated and enthroned, empowered, envisioned, called into the roles of a royal priest in the four faces of God, engaging and operating as the lion, the ox, the eagle, the man, a royal priesthood, bringing in alignment with the oracles and legislation of heaven into the earth. I'm calling my sons to arise. I'm calling the sons of God to rise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, let others come to the brightness of your rising as you reflect my sonship, as you reflect living loved, loving living, and living loving as a true son who's taking his responsibility on earth and in heaven to bring a convergence with time and eternity. Let the sons of God arise. 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 Let the sons of God arise.